Well, good morning, church family. We're glad that you're here today. We know not a very pleasant day outside, but we're glad that you are here in the house of the Lord this morning as we worship together. Hope you have your Bible with you. We're going to open in just a moment to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Now, I know that some of you came today knowing that it is that most wonderful time of year at Fruit Cove Baptist Church, and that is the time that Pastor Tim preaches on money for 3 weeks in a row. Now, let me, for those of you who are newcomers, this is your first time here, unclench your wallet, okay? We are not asking for money today. We are actually teaching about money. We're not taking an offering. The conclusion is not going to be a plate passing by, okay? I just want to talk about money. And let me tell you why we're not going to worry about that kind of thing today, because you have been incredible this past year. Your giving has been phenomenal. Not only did we meet our budget goal by giving $5,263,000, but that was 10% higher than we gave last year. Last year was a really good year, but 10% above that. We set a goal this year of $110,000 for our Lottie Moon Christmas offering goal. Again, every penny of that goes to the foreign mission field, to the nations, so that they can know the beautiful name that we just sang about. You not only exceeded that goal, but you doubled it. It was over $220,000. Man. And I've learned from that I'm going to let our children collect the offering from now on, because Christmas Eve, they did a great job of getting money from folks. So, we'll get those little colored buckets out again. It'll be a wonderful thing. We gave almost $100,000 to retiring the debt at the Ortega property at Refuge Church. We were able to give an additional $50,000 to local interests like our food banks and our First Coast Women's Services, and just to help people locally who come to the church and say, I need money for various needs. So we have really seen a phenomenal year. It's really, honestly, it is humbling. It is awe-inspiring the way your giving has blessed people literally locally and around the globe. You know, giving sermons used to be really hard for me. I know that may be hard for some of you to believe. I actually enjoy them now. I don't enjoy watching people get uncomfortable about money. But I actually enjoy preaching on giving now. That's why I do it 3 weeks in a row. I warn you ahead of time, if you don't want to hear about money, there are other churches around this week and next not preaching about money. And you might want to go someplace else. But if you are here, we're going to talk about money. I used to feel like I was begging people, basically, to give to the church so I could get a paycheck. And it really felt uncomfortable to do that. But God delivered me from that. I just want to praise Him this morning. I am free from the fear of preaching about giving. I did not just do that disclaimer to express some discomfort about this. I'm not. I just want you to know what we're going to be talking about the next few weeks. And I've learned this. You know, I've learned that when I give to the church, when I give an offering to the church, like Fruit Cove Baptist Church, I'm not giving to an institution or to an organization. When you are giving your tithes and offerings, you're giving them to God, literally. And you know, the place that God tells us to give to Him is through the place of worship. Where you worship, that's where you're supposed to be bringing your offering. And I've learned a second important lesson. I don't own anything. I own nothing. God owns everything. He said, the silver is mine, the gold is mine. That's in the book of Haggai. We can only give God what He owns anyway. Now, I know that sounds strange, but basically giving is a way that God says, I want you to join me in what I'm doing around the world. This is a part of why we give. God isn't your poor relative begging you for a few dollars to help him out in a hard time. That's not why we give. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the psalmist tells us, and you can't give God anything that wasn't rightfully his in the first place. I think understanding this is key to getting us past, because some of us are still reluctant about giving. Honestly, as much as, I mean, this church is phenomenal in their giving, but everybody's not a part of that. Some of you are still really kind of reluctant about how do I do that, or how much should I give, or what's enough, and all those kind of things kind of come into play. But I really think the biggest barrier to giving, if I could just be presumptuous and assume to know that, biggest barrier is worry. We're worried. If I give money to the church, that means that's less money for me to be able to pay bills. We worry that our family's going to end up homeless. We worry about whether our job is going to survive this economy. We worry that our kids won't be able to afford college. I saw a post the other day from a father of a five-year-old who said, we had to tell our five-year-old daughter this morning that it was not a good idea to walk downstairs with a bucket on her head. He said, I guess we don't have to worry about that college fund now. You know, and you know, we worry about what's going to happen to our kids. You know, we have to have money to help them get to school. And you know, we let all of these things kind of begin to factor in as we think about giving. You know, you may be kind of a hybrid creature, one part Chicken Little and one part Eeyore the donkey. You know, the sky's falling, but more of it's falling on you, you feel like. And you're sure of that. Worry actually stops us from using the very key that God has given us to open heaven's floodgates in our lives. And it will solve the problems that we're worried about if we'll use that key. God says in Malachi, trust me in this matter of giving, and see if I will not throw open the windows of heaven to you. Well, that sounds like a pretty good thing. We worry ourselves into a panic attack or a health breakdown that may cost us our jobs or into being less productive and less able to make money. We should pray. We should ask God expectantly as an act of faith to meet our needs. There's nothing wrong with that. We ask God to meet our needs. But then we give as an act of trust to say, God, I believe you are going to meet my needs. I believe you are going to be taking care of these things that I'm worrying about. The book of Proverbs tells us, and we looked at this last year, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. That means obey Him. You know, God doesn't speak to you just to be heard. Did you know that? He speaks to you to be obeyed. He tells us things because He wants us to do something about what He's telling us. He doesn't just speak. He doesn't just want to be heard for the sake of being heard. He wants us to follow Him. He wants us to do what He tells us in His Word. And the promise is, I'll make your path straight. You honor me, I will make your path straight. And then it goes on in that same text and says, honor the Lord with the first fruit of your increase. That's your best, the best of your harvest. So your harvest will be great. The Contemporary English Version says, so you will have more grain and grapes than you'll need. That's a phenomenal promise. So when we honor the Lord, He supplies our needs. You might be thinking, well, I don't give anything. Now, let's be honest. Some of us are sitting here going, well, I don't give anything, and everything's working out okay for me. Well, okay, well, I'm not going to debate that with you. I will ask you this. I wonder how much more God wants to do for you than what's happening now. But we limit God's ability by our own lack of faith in this matter and our own lack of trusting Him. The blessings of God are not just financial, folks. There's a whole lot of ways that He would like to bless us. But we have to honor Him first. We have to obey Him. We have to walk by faith in this. And again, we don't give usually because we worry. Our worry dishonors the Lord who's promised to take care of us. Worry is incompatible with our faith. The word worry actually is from a German word that means to strangle. Worry strangles you. Worry chokes you out. It chokes life out of you. Worry stands on your oxygen hose, if you would. We have all of these imaginary what-ifs and these possibilities of bad outcomes that are kind of rattling around in our minds. Worry is very seldom based in reality. Far more often, it's based in our imagination and exaggeration. Now, you look in your own heart on that, okay? Where does it work out for you? So what I want to do today is just share a really simple outline. I want to read a text for us and then share a really simple outline that's helped me. Not originally, it's helped me. I want to share it with you because it helped me. And I struggle with worry just like everybody else does. And I have to push it back. I have to fight it back. And this outline kind of gives us a little bit of ammunition for that. So if you would. So we're in Matthew chapter 6, Sermon on the Mount. And the text I want to focus on starts in verse 25, but it starts with the word therefore. So we have to kind of go back a little bit. What did Jesus just say? Well, he just said in verse 24, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, all right, now we start in verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are they not of more value, or are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now, let's pray again for just a moment. Father, speak to our hearts today. I know that many of us struggle with this issue, and I know that this is not addressing those who clinically struggle with anxiety and worry. That's a different subject altogether, but our garden variety worry that we do, it stops us in our tracks sometimes. We need help, and I pray this morning by your word that you will set us free from our fear, from our anxiety, from our worry about the future, and even about this very day. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. God's people say, amen. All right, three things real quick. Number one, worry is irrational. Worry is irrational. Common sense. Jesus begins this teaching by using common sense, saying it's irrational for you to worry. It's unreasonable. Why are you anxious about tomorrow, Jesus asked? Why are you worried about having enough food or enough clothing or enough of life's necessities when your heavenly Father's already taking care of that? You know, when we were younger, most of us really cannot look back into our past and remember worrying a great deal about where our food was going to come from or where our clothes were going to come from or where money came from. If I needed food, I walked into the kitchen and opened the refrigerator door. If I needed clothes, I would go and pick something up off the floor in my bedroom. If I needed money, I would go to Dad and say, hey, Dad, I need $20 or whatever. It would have been unreasonable for me as I was growing up in my parents' household to worry. Now, my favorite cereal box might have been empty, or my favorite jeans might have been dirty, or my dad may not have been home, but I didn't worry about that. I didn't stress about that. And I'm not sure when I started worrying. I'm not sure when I first encountered worry as an option, but I did. And it was, I think it was when I started feeling that something's on me. I've got something I've got to carry here. I moved out on my own. I had a wife and a house payment and then a car, and then a child, and then two kids. But do you know, it was as unreasonable for me to worry about my life then as it would have been for me to worry about my life when I was at home with my father. My heavenly Father did not stop taking care of me. It's reasonable to think that God, my heavenly Father, my good Father, it's unreasonable to think he won't take care of me now. Worry is unreasonable. We can take the littlest thing. Have you ever done that? Take the littlest thing and you begin to obsess over it. You're worried about a bill, or you're worried about something that you're having to purchase, or you're worried somebody says something about you and you're worried about that. And we obsess and we blow it up into something so much bigger than it really is. It makes no sense. Jesus said, you're not going to add to your life by worrying. Nobody, you can't make yourself taller by worrying, and you can't make your life longer by worrying. In fact, we break down our health when we worry, and then we have to worry about our health, right? So it's unreasonable. We don't think clearly. The psalmist said in Psalm 37, verse 8, don't fret. It only causes harm. Don't fret. It only causes harm. There's nothing productive in worrying. There are a number of things that are unproductive and unreasonable. Secondly, worry is unnatural, all right? Worry is unreasonable. It's irrational, first. But secondly, it's unnatural. Nature teaches us that we don't have to worry. God feeds. Jesus said, watch the birds. Literally, that's what all the things about birds he says. It's just, he says a real simple thing. He said, watch the birds. Watch the birds. Your heavenly Father feeds them, and you're worth a lot more than they are. Watch the birds. Nature doesn't worry. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gave a botany lesson and a biology lesson. He said, consider the lilies of the field. Look at the flowers. And apparently, historically, from where the Sermon on the Mount was given, there were probably wildflowers all around people. It wasn't hard for them to look and say, that's a pretty one right there. Well, God clothed that flower. God picked that color. God chose that design. Nature, you know, do flowers look worried? How about birds? You ever seen a worried bird? You know, nature doesn't stress. You were not created to worry. It's unnatural for you as a human being to worry. You are doing something against nature. You know, don't the flowers and the birds know there's a pandemic? You know, well, if they're surviving without worrying, why can't you? Do you think the nature and the promises of God have changed because there's a pandemic? I don't think so. An English lady named Elizabeth Cheney wrote a little poem a number of years ago that's been used in a lot of different contexts, but I've learned it a long time ago. I love it. It said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. Is that how we live? You living like an orphan? Like you don't have a father? Like your father doesn't care about you? Third, worry is unnecessary. Worry is unnecessary. God, the nature of God, teaches us that worry is unnecessary. Now, God is going to give you everything necessary for today. And then he's going to give you everything you need tomorrow. That's literally what he's teaching here. God's going to take care of you today, and then when you get to tomorrow, God's going to take care of you tomorrow. Now, for some reason, we lose track of the fact that, well, God took care of me today. Somehow you managed to get here. You probably had breakfast. You might have rushed out without it, but you probably have lunch plans. You know, God's taking care of all this stuff. He's doing it for you today. Why are you worried that he won't do it tomorrow? God is faithful. God doesn't change. His nature doesn't change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God doesn't change. God's going to give you what you need when you need it. I have at home on Diggy's hamster cage, I have a 3.5-pound bag of hamster food. Now, there's a reason I store it on top of her cage. Because whenever I take the lid off to feed her, she goes all Shawshank Redemption on me. You know, she wants to, you know, she's an escape artist. She's always trying to get out. So I weight down the lid of her cage with hamster food, okay? It probably weighs 50 times as much as she does. She can't lift it. She's tried. She can't lift it. The bag stays there. Now, what I do, and when I feed her, I give her, I don't open the lid of her cage and think, you know, I don't want to fool with this hamster for the next 6 months, and then I dump 3 pounds of hamster food on her. I don't do that. I give her as much as she needs in her little bowl every day. It would be foolish for me to just go, well, there's plenty of food here, and just dump it out. I can feed her for the next 6 months with that bag. But I'm not going to feed her all at one time. That would be unnecessary and messy and just not smart. I give her what she needs every day. She doesn't need it all at once. And here's the thing. What you want is you want God to dump 3.5 pounds of hamster food on you. Well, I'll feel better if I know there's plenty of supply laid up for the next 6 months. God says, no, that's not the way this is going to work. Most of you have heard of Corrie Ten Boom. You know her story and how her family used to hide Jewish refugees who were running from the Nazis during World War II. She was arrested, her family was arrested, and placed in a concentration camp for a number of years. But she talked about how she survived that experience in an old book called The Hiding Place. If you've never read it, it's still worth your while to read it. But in that book, she talked about her father's faith. And she said he didn't just have faith, he taught us about why he believed. And she said one time he said, Corrie, because he found her worrying about something and she was worried about what was going to happen. He said, Corrie, listen, when we get on the train to take a trip, who pays for the tickets? She said, well, you do, Daddy. And then you get on the train without a ticket, trusting that I have paid the fare. So that when the conductor comes by, what do I do? She said, well, you hand me my ticket. He said, exactly. Now, why didn't I give you the ticket sooner? And she said, because I might lose it. Right. So I hold on to it for you until you need it as an act of love. I don't give you tomorrow's ticket today. He said, Corrie, our Heavenly Father has paid our fare. And when we have a need, He supplies it when the need appears. When we need it. He said, now, have I ever refused to give you your ticket? And she said, no, sir. And he said, neither will your Father in heaven refuse to give you what you need when you need it. See, here's the thing we miss. Jesus never said, listen, if you'll stop being anxious, you will never have a problem. He never said that. There's no guarantee that if you never worry again, you're not going to have. He said, you're going to have trouble. You just don't have to worry about it. Now, wouldn't that be great to wake up tomorrow and you're not worried about your checkbook anymore, your bank balance or your retirement funds or your health, or, you know, just, it's there. Yeah, it, you may not have more money in the bank tomorrow than you had today, but God is going to take care of your needs just like I take care of. If I'm up I'm not a great hamster dad, okay? That's not my training. That's not my skill set. But I'm learning how to take care of a hamster. And Diggy, trust me, I will feed her. I don't think she runs around her cage worrying, oh, I wonder if he's going to show up with, you know, there's a 3.5-pound bag of food on her roof. You know, she'll be okay. We don't have to worry. If we could just understand that Jesus is promising in this, and this is what he means when he says, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. In other words, you're going to have issues tomorrow. Don't borrow tomorrow's issues and try to process them today, because this. God will provide your need when you need it, but he will not provide you what you need before you need it. Does that make sense? He will provide your need when you need it. He will not give you what you need before you need it. And this is where we struggle. Because we want to relate to the gifts of God, but not to the face of God. We want what he's going to give us with his hand, but we push back when what God is doing is saying, listen, I want you to learn. God is inviting us to intimacy, folks, by the way he supplies our needs. And we say, well, I would just feel better if he would just dump the whole 3.5 pounds. You don't need that. You need to see his hand showing up every day going, we'll take care of this. And the next day, we'll take care of this. And you're learning along the way that God is faithful. God's going to take care of you. He's going to meet that need. Whatever it is, he's going to meet it. When you need it. When you need it. So Jesus is saying, stop projecting yourself into the future. Stop borrowing tomorrow's what ifs and try to solve them today. Because here's the thing. If you're thinking about tomorrow's problems today, here's what you don't know. You don't know what God might be bringing to the table tomorrow to help you deal with that problem that you're worried about right now. You're trying to process it just with your own stuff, and that's not always a good thing. You're not as slick as you think you are. God is going to show up in the issue and open doors and speak to you and show you the way that you need to go. So it's unnecessary for us to worry. Unless the nature of God changes, and we have no indication that's ever going to happen, he's going to meet your need. It's safe to give. You can't, you know, you're only giving back to the one who's feeding you and taking care of you every day. It's not like you're going to deplete yourself and run out of resources. He's got plenty. We're going to talk some more about that in the weeks to come. But today I just want to hit this worry thing because, folks, we are still a very anxious people. And we don't have to be. It's irrational. It's unnatural. It's unreasonable. You trust your Father. You trust your Father. Let's pray. Father, speak to us today. I know that there are significant issues and needs that people are facing today, and I'm not trying to make light of any of those. But I also want us to understand the power that you have to meet whatever the need is in our life through the riches and glory that are in Christ Jesus. There is no economic crisis in heaven. There is no inflation. There's no supply line issues. you take care of us. And if we could just learn to walk in that, our lives would be flooded with peace, with the knowledge that we have a Father who loves us. And I pray today, Father, if there are those here today who just really still struggle with that, they just maybe need to come to pray today. Maybe they need to come and just commit themselves to trusting you and drawing near to you, seeking your face first, and then thanking you for what comes from your hand. I pray for those listening online and those who are listening on the radio this morning, that you will speak to their need wherever they are right now, Lord, that they might know that they do not have to fear you. They do not have to second guess whether or not you're going to meet their needs. You're going to touch them right where they are right now. And Father, if there are those listening, those here today in this room who do not know Jesus as their Savior, as their Lord, the greatest security, the greatest peace they can ever know comes from knowing Him and the forgiveness of sin through His death and His resurrection. So we trust you today, Father, for what you're going to do in our hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together, church family. You come as God leads you now. We'll meet you down front.